Welcome to the Reverse Cymbal Transitions Masterclass for that proper 90s rave flavor, built for drum and bass in Ableton Live. This is advanced. We're going to be picky about timing, envelope shape, mono compatibility, and how these reverses actually sit with breaks and sub. Because a reverse cymbal is either the glue that pulls you into the next bar or its fizzy wallpaper that steals your snare. By the end, you'll have three repeatable reverse cymbal transition types you can drop into any 8, 16, or 32 bar phrase, plus a little workflow system, so you stop rebuilding these from scratch every time. Let's set the mindset first. In 90s jungle and D&B, reverse cymbals weren't huge cinematic risers. They were short, functional, and exciting. They create the feeling of tape rushing into the next moment. So our North Star today is this. The reverse should pull you forward, then get out of the way so the downbeat hits like a door slam. Part 1. Choose the source like it actually matters because it does. Grab a cymbal sample and put it on an audio track. Start with warp turned off. We'll decide later if we want time stretch grit. What should you pick? A crash is the classic obvious move. A ride is underrated in D&B because it's more tonal, and it can feel like it's singing into the next bar without becoming pure noise. And an open hat layered with a little noise is great for more modern rollers, where you want tension without a big awash. One teacher tip here: if your sample sounds super modern and HD, don't panic. We can rough it up later, but if the sample is already brittle and harsh, you're going to fight it the entire time. Start with something that has a decent mid-range and a controllable top. Part 2. Reverse it properly and make it phase safe. First, consolidate the cymbal so Ableton treats it as one clean clip. Select it and consolidate. Then hit the reverse button in clip view. Now immediately deal with clicks. Turn on clip fades and give it a small fade in, usually somewhere between 5 and 25 milliseconds. You're not doing a creative fade, you're just preventing that digital edge from popping. Now timing. In D&B at around 170 to 175 BPM. Common reverse lengths are 1 beat, 2 beats, 1 bar, or 2 bars. 1 bar is the classic pull. 2 bars is drama, best saved for drops, reloads, and switch-ups. But here's the advanced rule that separates fine from feels expensive transitions. Don't align the end of the clip. Align the peak. Zoom in and look for the loudest point of the reversed cymbal. Often there's a burst of broadband noise that's the actual energy apex. Nudge the clip so that peak lands right on the downbeat impact. This is why some one-bar reverses feel weirdly weak even though they're the right length. The peak arrived early, so the last part is just tail. And here's a very 90s micro timing trick. Try ending the reverse 5 to 15 milliseconds before the downbeat. That tiny gap lets the real kick and snare transient own the downbeat, and the reverse reads like an inhalation that stops right before impact. It's subtle, but it creates urgency without masking. Part 3. Shape the envelope so it pulls, not washes. A raw reverse usually ramps too evenly. You want the sense that it accelerates toward the end. Quick method: put utility after the clip and automate gain. Start very low, maybe minus infinity up to minus 24 dB, and bring it up, so right before the hit you're around minus 6 to 0, depending on taste. But don't draw a straight line. Make it exponential-ish. Slow rise early, fast rise late. If you're thinking like an engineer, you're basically creating perceived acceleration. Now add filter movement, because this is the classic stays out of the break until the last moment trick. Drop auto filter on. Use a low pass, 24 dB. Start the cutoff low, maybe 300 to 800 Hz, and open it up toward 10 to 16 kHz near the end. Keep resonance restrained, like 5 to 15%, unless you want it to whistle. Add a bit of drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, for grit. In the D&B context, this is gold. Your amen edits can be going crazy, but the reverse won't smear the transients until the last instant. Part 4. Build the 90s rave character with stock devices. We're going to do this with a reliable chain, and you can reuse it forever. Start with EQ8. High pass the reverse somewhere between 150 and 400 Hz. If you want cleaner modern mixes, go higher. If you want a bit of old school weight, go lower, but do not let this get into sub territory. Reverses and sub should not be negotiating for space. Then hunt harshness. Often it's around 6 to 9 kHz. Do a small dip, maybe 2 to 5 dB, with a moderate Q. If the reverse got too dull, you can add a gentle bump in the 2 to 4 kHz area, but be careful. That's also where your snare crack lives. Next, saturator. Put it on analog clip or soft sign. Drive anywhere from 2 to 8 dB depending on how aggressive you want it. Turn on soft clip if you get spikes. The goal is thickness and slight compression, not distortion that sounds like you broke something. Now optional but very rave, Redux. Think of it like sampler fingerprints. Try bit reduction around 10 to 14 bits, sample rate around 12 to 22 kHz. And for advanced control, don't go full wet. Keep it like 10 to 30%. If you can hear obvious bit crush, you've probably gone too far for this role. We want chewed, not destroyed. Now space. Reverb is where a lot of people ruin their drop, so we're going to do it the grown-up way. Put your reverb on a return track and send into it. Set decay around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds. Pre-delay low, like 0 to 10 milliseconds so it feels immediate. Hike out the reverb, around 6 to 10 kHz so it doesn't fizz, and low cut around 300 to 800 hz so it doesn't cloud the punch. Then, utility at the end of the reverse chain for stereo discipline. If it's getting too wide and smeary, pull width down to 60 to 90%. If it's a big moment and you want that rave whiteness, you can push to 110 to 140, but you must check mono. Which brings us to a key coaching habit. Check mono in context, not solo. Put a utility on your master as a monitoring tool and toggle mono while the full break and bass are playing. If the reverse turns hollow or facey, narrow the reverb return first, not necessarily the dry signal. A lot of the mono pain is coming from wide reverb, not the cymbal itself. Part 5. Make it snap into the impact. This is the difference between amateur and lethal. If your reverse tail spills over the downbeat, your kick and snare won't feel like they land. So we're going to gate the reverb tail. Very DNB friendly. On the reverb return track, after reverb, add gate. Sidechain the gate to your kick and snare bus, or even just the snare. Dial the threshold so the gate closes on the hit. Set return around 50 to 150 milliseconds, release around 80 to 250. What you get is that classic huge swell, then a clean slam. The reverb basically gets out of the way exactly when you need impact. And a second option, hard stop. At the end of the reverse clip, do a tiny fade out, like 2 to 10 milliseconds exactly on the downbeat, or automate utility gain to minus infinity at the downbeat. This is a clean, surgical way to protect the drop. Part 6. Add the 90s pull with pitch and time movement. This is where it starts sounding like an old sampler breathing. First option. Automate clip transpose. Start the reverse down, like minus 7 to minus 12 semitones, and end at 0. Subtle for rollers. More extreme for reload energy. Second option. Turn warp on for crunchy time stretch character. Try beats mode if you want rhythmic grit. Preserve at 1/8 or 1/16, and keep transients controlled. Or tones for smoother vintage. Or texture if you want grainy rave behavior, with larger grain size and a bit of flux. Now the pro move. Resample it. Create a new audio track, set it to resampling, and record the reverse through your effects chain. This prints the character, save CPU. And it also forces commitment, which is very 90s in spirit. Once you print a transition that works, you're building assets, not just doing a one-off trick. Part 7. Placement and phrasing in rolling DNB. Use reverses like punctuation, not constant decoration. Bar 8 into 9 is great for a mini lift. Bar 16 into 17 is your classic phrase turn. Two-bar reverses are for the big stuff. Bar 32 into the drop. Reload moments, switch ups into a new bass patch. Here's a jungle layering trick. Reverse ride for the tonal pull, plus a tiny reverse hat for excitement. High pass the hat reverse aggressively like 2 to 4 kHz, so it doesn't cloud the break. Also tie reverses to drum edits, not just phrase boundaries. If you do a specific break cut or a ghost snare moment, aim the reverse into that. It makes the transition feel explained by the drums instead of pasted on top. And don't underestimate negative space. If you pull your hats down a couple dB in the last half bar, simplify the break fill, or shorten the bass notes right before the drop, the reverse can be quieter but feel bigger. That's real arrangement power. Part 8. Protect the snare crack with dynamic behavior. If the reverse is stepping on your snare bite around 2 to 5 kHz, don't just static EQ it into boredom. Use automation. Automate an EQ8 bell dip to get deeper only in the last 1/8 to 1/4 note before the hit. So earlier in the reverse you keep the excitement, but right at the moment of impact you clear space for the snare to speak. That's a mixed decision that keeps energy and punch at the same time. Part 9. Advanced variations you can start using immediately. Try the double suck. Split the reverse into two regions, the first 3/4 of the bar and the last quarter. In the first region, gentle gain rise. Mostly closed low pass. In the last quarter, steeper gain curve, filter opens fast, and add a tiny pitch rise. that last quarter suddenly snaps forward. Very rave. Try call and response reverses. Put a tiny reverse, like a 1/8 or 1/4 note, on the last snare of bar 16. Then a longer 1-bar reverse into bar 17. It teases, then delivers. Classic phrasing trick. Try mid-side discipline without fancy tools by using 2 reverb returns. 1 narrow, 1 wide. Keep the wide 1 darker with more high cut, and only automate the wide return to bloom in the final quarter bar. That keeps your mix stable and still gives you that opens up moment. Try a reverse pre-echo illusion. Duplicate the reverse quietly, high pass it hard, and start at 1/16 earlier. It creates that weird sampler pre-echo vibe without adding more delay clutter. And if you want nervous air right at the edge, automate auto pan amount from 0 up to about 20% only on the last 1/8 note. Use a synced rate like 1/16 or 1/32. Keep it subtle. The goal is tension, not obvious tremolo. Part 10. Build your reusable reverse cymbal rack. Once you've got a chain you like, drop an audio effect rack on the track and put a Q8, saturator, redux, auto filter, and utility inside. Map macros for high pass frequency, harsh dip amount, saturator drive, redux dry slash wet, filter cutoff, and width. Save it as something like 90s reverse pull rack. This is how you stop reinventing the wheel and start building a signature. Now, mini practice routine, and I want you to actually time box this. Set your project to 174 BPM. Load a break, amen style if you like, plus a rolling kick and snare. Take one cymbal sample and build 3 reverse versions from that same source. Version A. Clean. High pass around 250 at Z. Light saturator. Small reverb send. Version B. Rave crunch. Add redux around 12-bit. 16 kHz. About 20% wet. Automate a low pass opening from roughly 500 hz to around 14 kHz. Version C. Dark and heavy. Duplicate the reverse for a parallel low-mid layer. Low pass that layer around 1.5 kHz. Saturate harder, and keep it mostly mono with utility width down near 0 to 30%. That gives you weight without sub-mess. Place at bar 8 into 9. Place B at 16 into 17. Place C into your main drop at bar 32. This audio version is shortened for playback.